Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
I mean, my God, you know, we'll get to the Rockets a little bit later, but it's just like, hey, Houston, come on, can't have very nice things for very long.
Come on now.
And that we have to have tough conversations. And the tough conversation I feel like we have to have as a fan base, as a city right now, when it concerns our Houston Astros, is things that absolutely have got to be on the table for discussion, for action. There's got to be a call to action to change something significant this offseason, B. Scott, whenever that may begin. I know Ron Hughley was like, oh, here they come yesterday. You know, you score double-digit runs. Holy crap, here
man,
it goes.
Man, he was trolling.
I know he's trolling.
Ron ain't believe that.
Damn Kansas City Chief Royal fan.
Don't believe that.
But there are a lot of, you know, super fans that do believe, that are holding out hope, that do want to see that because, hey, you know what? How many times have we seen the Astros even lose World Series, B. Scott, to teams that weren't very great during the regular season but got hot enough at the right time and turned it on? Philadelphia Phillies, yeah. Washington Nationals. Yeah. Like, these things twice. Happen, right?
Yeah. And they beat the Phillies. But you're talking about the Braves. They lost to the Braves.
Yeah, but it wasn't an easy series against the Phillies. And you're right. Yeah, Braves are the team that I was talking
about. But the point still stands, though. Yeah. We've seen teams, whether they lose or win against the Astros in the World Series, those were not teams that, let's say, in the middle of the season and certainly not at the beginning of the season, you were predicting to be in that spot.
But look, when the Astros made the decisions, and they were tough decisions, to trade Kyle Tucker, to allow Alex Bregman to sign elsewhere, to trade for Carlos Correa this season, to acquire guys like Jesus Sanchez, Ramon Urias. They created options for themselves. They created flexibility for themselves that otherwise wouldn't have been the case. They have $60 million or, you know, something in and around that neighborhood coming off the books this offseason. And so they're going to be able to do some shopping that we've wanted them to do for the last two off seasons, from a pitching standpoint, from a role player standpoint, guys off the bench, you know, maybe another outfielder, I don't know, somebody that has a consistent, you know, proven bat that's not like in their mid-30s. Not only those, but I have a list of candidates for movement, and one that is all but guaranteed. And you can tip your cap to Framber Valdez yesterday, who I would imagine had to kind of, you know, downsize the fit after he pulled his hair out literally yesterday before the start and looked much closer to the vintage Framber that we've come to know and love. He's walking. Christian Walker. I think we need to talk about him. I think we need to talk about Yordan Alvarez. And those are the two. Those are the cream of the crop in terms of, they may be victims of circumstance when it comes down to the flexibility you've created for yourself if you're the Houston Astros. Do you need to consider trading Christian Walker? Do you need to consider trading Yordan Alvarez in the offseason to continue to keep the window open, as Jim Crane has said and shown that he's willing to do responsibly / irresponsibly in each of the last three off seasons for the Astros?
Yeah, so it's kind of two different conversations, and I'm curious where you are. Like, I think everything needs to be on the table to at least talk about. Like, if you had asked me this, let's just say two years ago, look, man, I would have thought it was insane for you to suggest, might the Astros want to trade Yordan Alvarez? Even if you were to fast forward me to now and give me a little bit of context, oh, they're not quite as good, might you want to trade Yordan Alvarez? I would have thought it was insane. I still lean toward not doing that. Like, Yordan Alvarez at his best when he's right, when he's healthy. Still one of the better hitters in baseball. Certainly one of the better left-handed hitters in baseball. I think that there's value in that. There's value in his contract. I would rather keep him than get rid of him. Christian Walker's an interesting case because I don't even know what you'd get for Christian Walker. Like, yeah, obviously, if you can tell me you can get some kind of haul or whatever you consider to be a haul for Christian Walker, I'm all for it. I'm all for the conversation to begin with. But it doesn't really do a whole lot for me because I just can't imagine being another team watching him this year, and even with the context of what he did in Arizona, and feeling like, hey, yeah, you know what? I want to sign up for that. I want to sign up for that contract and make that my first baseman. So that one is a tougher sell for me. Yordan's the one that's got the true value, and you got to start talking about, like, at one point we thought this guy had a bargain contract, but that was only, like, with consideration to the idea that he would play for you. He does not play enough. And it's almost like every year you can chalk up an IL stint or something like odd and weird happened, or just like an injury of some sort. You can just like pencil it in that he's not going to be available to you for some significant stretch almost every season. And so that kind of colors the contract a little bit differently.
It does.
And then you start talking about where the team is. What does it benefit you to have such a great player and such an expensive player? And we talk about his contract being on a bargain, but he still makes upwards of $20, $25 million a year. What is the value of that if you're not even going to be a competitive team, or if you're going in the opposite direction of where you were headed when you signed that contract to begin with? It's not to say that you should for sure do it, but you should for sure
entertain
listen,
it. Yeah.
Entertain it, and have the internal conversation to begin
Yordan
with.
Yordan Alvarez is a Houston Astro, at least in terms of his current contract, through the 2028 season. I'm not saying you need to trade the guy now. I'm not saying that by any stretch. But I cannot be blind to the fact that, look, the injuries have become a mounted issue. And if you can optimize the value that he is right now at the age of 28, just turned 28 3 months ago. He's going to be 29 going into next season, or at some point in next season, rather. I think it's something that needs to be discussed, because the Astros could very well enter into a what some would call a dark place, where the Houston Rockets were years back in the Daryl Morey / Jeff Van Gundy era Rockets, where, you know, they weren't a great team, but they weren't a bad team. They were that mediocre team, and we had conversations every year where, you know, look, hey, should we just bite the bullet now and kind of, you know, just have a bad year, rebuild through the draft, save some money, build through free agency? Well, Jim Crane is very much shown to be that kind of an owner, where you might have to make one drastic decision or the other, in that he's not been willing, unless it's involved Justin Verlander, to go over a luxury tax threshold. And God bless you guys. I love Justin Verlander, too. He feels like a stepbrother to me. But the Astros need to leave it at that. they need to leave it at that. He's very old. And he's much older than Kevin Durant. And I'm not ready to go searching for the gold that is never to be found underneath the end of one side or the other rainbow with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, well, I think what you're pointing out here is important, though, because you got to think about all the ways that you can build a team and what the Astros are most and less likely or least likely to do.
Yeah.
And as you've laid out and as we talked about, rarely is it do they spend that big, you know, top tier big ticket item free agent. Will they spend on that big ticket item free agent? Very rarely are they signing those huge deals and acquiring that big. Obviously, they did the Christian Walker thing a couple of years ago. They brought in Josh Hader. That's another thing. Man, you signed a closer for a team that doesn't look like it's going to be super competitive. Like, what are going to be his closing opportunities? And that's not to mention his health issue.
Don't forget the gamble that really was, though, in an offseason 2 years ago, where when Jim Crane did that, and it was like, hey, we weren't sure if this window was going to be opened at that point in time. And when Jim Crane says 5 years, $90 million to Josh Hader, and it was like, whoa, well, we got Ryan Pressly. What's going on here? It's like, oh, well, Press, he used to be a seventh and eighth inning guy up until the last 3 years at that time. So that's a role that, you know, sure, He'll be fine sliding into. Well, from a personal standpoint, Ryan Pressly was thinking anything but that. And it was like, we saw how that turned out.
Yeah.
But
and to be fair, Pressly wasn't good when he went to Chicago this year.
No, and he was. Well, he had a good stretch.
He had a stretch, but yeah.
He started poorly, and he had a really, really great Ryan Pressly stretch, one that we'd seen here time and time again, certainly in the postseason as well. But for whatever reason, you know, there was maybe some health issues, maybe age just finally caught up to him, maybe – you know, it was a perfect storm, and it was both of those things.
But ultimately, they signed a $95 million closer for a team that made the playoffs in the last day of the season.
Right, but my main point is that signal to the fan base that, hey, we're going to do what it takes to keep this championship window open. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't work. Sometimes you find yourself in a unique position where you make some bad decisions, and you can kind of forcibly keep that window open. I think the Astros are in that situation right now, and they have the opportunity to make some decisions that wouldn't be rallied upon by the fan base or the media or the like, but very much could be done for the betterment of the organization to do that, to elongate the optimal time, the window for players like a Jeremy Peña, that still do exist for guys like Carlos Correa. I don't know how Yiner Diaz factors into that, you know, but you have a budding star in Cam Smith. I do believe that. The guy can't look that good, that put together, that complete of a player for a month and a half to start a season and then be FUBAR. I don't believe that. Like, the guy's got the tools. But all that to say, the Astros have some major decisions that they could make this offseason that they could make over the course of the next two off-seasons, three max, as it relates to Yordan's contract, that are going to be completely unpopular and not supported, but they might be necessary to do what Jim Crane and whatever iteration of general manager Jeff Luhnow, James Click, or in this case now Dana Brown, have preached in: we are going to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, I think what's... Even though we're having this conversation, I think what feels most likely or more likely is that they look at this season and all of the health issues that they had, all the injuries that they had, and just feel like it was an unhealthy season, an unlucky season, and something that can just be rectified with a regression to the mean and having better health luck. But I would caution them against that. I feel like that's what's going to happen. I fear that that's what's going to happen. But I would caution them against it.
Let me ask you, and we'll maybe talk about this individual coming up next, but just a yes or no, because we're up against it, and we can get into it on the other side.